So you're going to see that, you know, when we created this presentation, I try to bring a lot of flavor for the accountants in the room or the attorneys that have to deal with us lovely, exciting accountants on a day-to-day basis. One thing I wanted to just make sure in the fundamentals course is that you have a good understanding of what donors are evaluating. Reputational risk is the probably biggest asset and biggest risk for any nonprofit. And so when you have these materials or download these materials, these links are actually in here for you to click on. But Charity Navigator and GuideStar tend to be the most common that I see being used. And the reason I have really thought over the last couple of years, especially as many nonprofits have gone to a remote workforce or, you know, tried to figure out a way to get through the pandemic, is if you know what's being said about your organization, whether you're representing them or you work for the organization, and having that on an annual, at least an annual basis, to have management or the board be checking that information is really critical. I will tell you, in the, you know, our millennials are now in their 30s, and what's happening in the job market, at least from an accounting perspective, and Jonathan can give the attorney perspective, is the generation that is retiring, there are not enough of my generation, I'm almost 50, to replace all the people that are retiring. And so the next generation are those millennials, but they're not quite at that CEO level, right, from an experience standpoint. So we have some gaps, which is why in what I do at Forvis, which we have approximately 3,000 nonprofit clients, we're the eighth largest firm in the country. Used to be BKD or Dixon Hughes Goodman. We came together as an equal merger last year. But when we're evaluating all these type of entities, we're seeing more and more that people are outsourcing services. They are not able to keep people long term because of the market or inflation. And so it's just really important that somebody at the governance level, the attorney level, the CFO level, keeps in tune with these things that are being said about you. The other thing about millennials, they don't really want to talk to your development department until they've done their research. And, you know, 60% of my workforce are in that millennial category. So I get the privilege of being able to work beside them. And they really want to go in and check out all these websites. They're checking out your website. They're checking out these watchdog websites before they even want to have a discussion. And sometimes they don't even want to have the discussion. They just want to donate. And so just highly encourage you to think about that. Here are some other websites that you can go to and have a look at as it relates to your organization. Some of the common things from the watchdog websites, when you're thinking about the reporting metrics that you give the board or management, the most common items noted from the watchdog websites have to do with financial performance metrics, which are your program percentages, administrative percentages, fundraising efficiency. How much does it cost you to raise a dollar? And overall transparency and governance. They also all are pulling information from the 990. And too many times I've seen where organizations send that 990 to accountants. If you haven't noticed, we are not the most creative writers in the world. And you really need to get your program and marketing people involved in reviewing your 990. Your grantors are looking at this 990. Use this opportunity that's a public document to really tell your story and gain interest of future potential donors.
And the Form 990 is the annual information return that public charities file. I was once sitting on a board, and they wanted to have the board review a Form 990 but they wanted to redact some of the salary information from it, from the board, because that was really sensitive information. And so my comment was, you realize that this document is public, so the only people who aren't going to see the salary are the board members from the organization that is supposed to be supervising that executive. So some of this is a change in thinking in terms of the kind of exposure that nonprofits face, right? When you file a 990, that information is public and accessible. It's on GuideStar.org, which is now Candid.org. But you can also find it on the IRS website. Go to search charities on the IRS website, and you can find information about all the organizations you know and love. And you can find a lot of very detailed information. And so it's not just you that has that access. It's generally available to the public. And so it's critical as organizations contemplate what their 990 is saying. And I encourage you to go to some of the 990 sessions today, both the 990 PF for the private foundations and the 990 for public charities, to learn more about how those documents are viewed.
So the next area is really just at the federal compliance area of some of the most common misconceptions or things just to be aware of or refresh you on. And number one is, have you filed your 990 timely, right? We have some slides in here with the details, so you can refer back to that. Are you compliant with the best practices of nonprofit organizations?